Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside... No, I'm Business Radio X.
Yes.
What did I say? This is Gwinnett Business Radio on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Yes.
It's Business Radio. It's
there goes the award. They're taking it out now, Mike.
They're ripping it off the wall as we speak. Seems like it's been a while since we've done a show.
It has been a while. I have missed you, Mike. I've missed you dearly. I'm so glad to be back.
You're hearing the tones of Stephen Julian here on Business Radio X.
The sultry tones.
How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back, and I am excited about today's show, Mike. This should be fun.
We are. We kind of have an overriding theme today. Japan Fest is coming to Gwinnett County. It's coming to the Gwinnett Center. It's a wonderful event, and it's going to be September 20th through the 21st at the Gwinnett Center, Japan Fest weekend. It's the largest Japanese festival in the Southeast. So we're going to talk about that. That is the overriding theme. And joining us on the show today is Yoshi Demoto. He's the Japan-America Society of Georgia and Japan Fest guy. Director, I don't even know what his title is exactly, but he's
Chief Poobah
Chief
Poobah
Japan Fest. With Japan Fest, and also joining us a couple of participants of Japan Fest this year, and some great companies in their own right. Jessica Cork is here from YKK Corporation of America, and Sachi Nakato with Nakato Japanese Restaurant. Although she did not bring any food this morning, so we're going to give her a hard time about that. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
We'll start with Jessica. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Jessica Cork is the manager, public relations and communications for YKK Corporation of America. And catch this, Stephen. Here's the first line of their business description. From backpack manufacturers to skyscraper buildings or builders. That's pretty broad.
That's such a niche market. I mean, that is so narrow. How
exactly.
Could you, man, backpacks to skyscrapers.
So, Jessica, YKK Corporation, you guys do it all. Tell us what your company does.
That's right. Well, we have two divisions, our fastening division and our architectural products division. The fastening division is mostly known. I think if anyone has looked at their jeans, you know, recently, a lot of times you'll notice the YKK logo on your zipper, on your jeans. So we're most well known for our zipper products, but we also make hook and loop products, and you know, hook and loop being what we don't like to, what we call sometimes the V word, but the like a Velcro type of product. We make a hook and loop product, and we also make woven, you know, textile products like lanyards and a lot of those type of items for the safety industry. And then the architectural products are, you know, curtain walls for some of those skyscrapers. You know, a lot of the buildings downtown Atlanta are made using our products, as well as storefronts, doors and windows. And we also have make vinyl windows for residential use as well.
Wow, you guys do it all.
So I have to ask this question. Which came first? Did they both come at the same time, or was it one corporation really...
Right.
Started and then...
It started with the zipper.
Okay.
So the company was founded back in 1934 by our founder's name is Tadao Yoshida. And he actually got into the zipper business kind of, you know, he wasn't necessarily intending to get into that. He was working for a porcelain import company based in Japan. He was importing porcelain from China. But that company on the side sold zippers. And so initially he started, you know, just selling the zippers and realized, you know, I can make this better myself, and I can make a much better product, you know, if I, you know, he started making everything from the yarn and the metal and everything that goes into the zipper to bring down the price of the product for the end user. And so he really was looking to come up with a product that would add value, you know, to the customer at a fair price.
It would have been a better story, Jessica, if the guy that came up with the company was actually named Mr. Zipper.
But, or hook and loop.
Or hook and loop. Just not Mr. Velcro. That's a taboo word, apparently. You guys are now operating in 71 countries with all your products and so forth. How have you grown so well?
Right. It's interesting. You know, if you look at, you know, Japanese manufacturing, kind of the history of Japanese manufacturing, you know, these days, you know, we all know that there's Japanese products everywhere, you know, the Toyotas and the Subarus and everything. But YKK actually started expanding overseas quite early, you know, in Japan. They were a lot earlier than most of those other companies. I think, you know, we're familiar with the, you know, the 80s as kind of the peak of it. But YKK was expanding way back in the mid-1950s. And the reason for that, you know, they had done very well in the domestic market in Japan and then decided, well, the next step is manufacturing overseas. But our business is quite unique because, you know, being a B2B business, of course, we sell directly to the manufacturers that are making the apparel. It started with the apparel industry. But, you know, as you know, if you're supplying something like a zipper to an apparel manufacturer, you need to be you know, you need to be right there, very close to where that company is in order to supply, you know, the zipper as quickly as possible. There's also a lot of changes, you know, you think, especially these days, when you think how quickly there's changes to being made to, you know, different fashion trends, different colors, different, you know, different lengths of zippers, et cetera. So the idea behind, you know, going overseas is to be set up operations right where that company, where the customer was, so that we can be as close as possible to the customer to provide them with what they need as quickly as possible. And so as, you know, customers started moving all over the world, the very first company that we had overseas was in New Zealand. And relatively soon after that was right here in Georgia. So we started operations, our manufacturing operations in Macon, Georgia in 1974. So that makes us one of the very first Japanese companies that was located here. There's a little bit of a dispute between YKK and Murata about who really was first, but they were very, very close together in the early 1970s.
Now that sounds like another show, but we'll table that for now. So talk a little bit, we're speaking with Jessica Cork of YKK Corporation of America. Speak a little bit then about the architectural products, maybe kind of how that developed, how that started, but also what you guys provide. Because again, you know, with the zippers and the hook and loop, you guys go straight to the apparel manufacturer. I'm assuming the architectural products go straight to the construction. And, mm-hmm. and just kind of talk about how that started. Because going from zippers to, yeah, we work with skyscrapers, mm-hmm. that's a big jump in my mind. So,
sure.
So help me understand.
Well, what the link there is really is our technology related to how we can manipulate aluminum. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't realize this, but for example, on the zipper side of the business, we, you know, make all of the metal that goes into the zipper. We make the brass wire right down in Macon. We have a very large metal foundry and export all over the world. So we have a lot of technology related to how to best, you know, make metal products. And so some of that, you know, that technology was able to translate over into the doors and windows business, you know, especially with when you think about the curtain wall, which is really it's the frame, the metal frame. That goes around the window. So that's kind of where the connection is. On the Japan side, that business started in the 1960s, and we opened up a factory here in Dublin, Georgia in 1991.
So. When you asked that question, I was holding my breath a little bit because I was afraid when you said zippers go to skyscrapers that Jessica was going to say, a lot of those skyscrapers are being held together by zippers. I didn't want to hear that.
Well, I would have to say, though, you would be surprised that the products that zippers are used in, though, actually, because, you know, a lot of people think when they think about our company, they think first, you know, jeans, you know, or apparel. But, you know, did you know that there are zippers, for example, that go into NASA, you know, spacesuits and, you know, containment units and fishing nets and, you know, like oil. If there's an oil spill, you know, in the ocean, we produce a product that will help contain the oil, you know, and prevent it from leaking out further into the ocean. So it's, you know, who knows? It could go into skyscrapers. I don't know.
So if you had companies come to your company and say, hey, we need a zipper for this type of product or something, and you'll come up with something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reason I think that our company has been so successful is that we work so closely with our customers. So it's not just that, you know, that we're out there selling them a product and say, okay, this is the type of zippers we have, you know, and then you choose one. We have a team of 25 you know, R&D engineers down in Macon that are working very closely with the customer to come up with, you know, the best design that will fit the product. So they will come to us basically with a problem, and then we work together with them to try to find a solution to the problem.
You mentioned earlier, Jessica, one of the first companies, YKK Corporation of America, one of the first companies, Japanese companies, to set up in Georgia. Why the state of Georgia? What attracted the company to Georgia?
Sure. Well, at the time, the company first came to the United States in 1970, and we were had, you know, sales office up in New York City. And at the time, there was a large number of jeans manufacturers located here in the Southeast. So, you know, there were, you know, dozens and dozens located throughout the Southeast. So we knew that the Southeast was where we wanted to be. And, you know, Georgia was just kind of one of the sites that we were looking at. But at the time, the, you know, then Governor Jimmy Carter, you know, was really looking to increase the number of international companies that were locating here in Georgia. You know, so he was part of the reason why our company, you know, was invited to Georgia in the first place. And then when we, you know, started at looking at locations within Georgia, one of Governor Carter's staff members, Cloyd Hall, was originally from Macon, Georgia. And so he convinced, you know, Governor Carter, hey, can we bring YKK down to Macon? And Macon just rolled out the red carpet, you know, for our company when they just did absolutely everything that they could, you know, to try to get us to locate our business there. And that's really been the case, you know, ever since. You know, Macon has been a really great, you know, community partner with YKK. And, you know, there's a lot of things that our company does within the community in order to, you know, to thank them for what they did. So, but the other side of that story, though, that you have to realize with how much our company has had to innovate, though, is that a lot of those jeans manufacturers, which is why we came to the state to begin with, they are not here anymore. I mean, they have completely disappeared. You know, approximately 98% of the garments that Americans wear are imported, you know, from overseas, which means they may contain, you know, YKK products, but those products are probably being made by our YKK facilities in other locations, you know, whether it's Vietnam or Bangladesh or China, which is where we're growing very quickly. So in order for us to keep our business, you know, successful here, because we still have to be profitable, even though we're part of one global company, you know, every region needs to remain profitable. So we've had to, we really had to innovate. And so I just mentioned all of those products, like, you know, products for NASA or for the government or for the safety industry. You know, that's really where we're focusing on the high value added products here.
So we're speaking with Jessica Cork from YKK Corporation of America, and great to hear that you've had a 40-year relationship here in Georgia, in Macon, and you've been able to adapt the business to those, like you said, high-margin products. You mentioned community involvement. That's another big key with the company. That's another reason why you've had a great relationship and stayed here in Georgia. So let's talk about one of the reasons we're sitting around here. Talk about YKK's partnership with Japan Fest. Mm-hmm. What has it been in the past? And you kind of told us off the air, personally, you've had quite a good relationship with Japan Fest. So talk about that relationship and why YKK is excited about Japan Fest.
Sure. Well, you know, as I mentioned before, YKK was one of the first Japanese companies here. So we've been, you know, just as a company, really excited to see the number of Japanese companies growing here in Georgia. And, you know, the number of Japanese, you know, citizens is increasing. One of the things that our company always talks about is that it makes it so easy for our Japanese employees, you know, to work here and live here in Georgia because the community in Georgia has been so welcoming. I mean, there really hasn't been any history at all, you know, in the state of any of the, you know, the backlash that some other, you know, regions experienced, say, in the 80s. And I think that has a lot to do with the very good relationship that's been building between Georgians and Americans. And, you know, I think a very big part of that has been Japan Fest. I mean, Japan Fest, you know, was first started, I think, 1986. So, you know, it has a long history as well. And what Japan Fest really gives an opportunity for, you know, Americans here living in Georgia to do is to experience, you know, the Japanese culture. And one thing that we're very proud of, for example, you know, YKK purchases a ticket package every year. So Japan Fest has, you know, several different ways that we get, you know, people to come and attend. But one of them is we request Japanese companies to purchase purchase ticket packages. And what they do, that supports the festival, of course, but what that also allows companies to do is to give those tickets, you know, at for free to their employees. So in our company, you know, we purchased something like 3,000 tickets, and we give those away, to our employees to bring their families and, you know, to let their kids, for example, experience, you know, some part of Japanese culture as well. So it creates a good relationship.
And we're going to talk with Yoshi Demoto about the Japan Fest in just a second. Before we do that, Jessica, though, let me ask you, for those that want to find out more about your company and all the products that you offer, where can they find out more information about YKK Corporation of America?
Sure. Well, they can go to our corporate website, which is ykk.com. And then from there, they can also link to, you know, our North and Central American division. So that's ykkusa.com.
Great. Jessica Cork, Manager of Public Relations and Communications for YKK Corporation of America. We'll talk a little bit later as we talk more about Japan Fest, but thank you for sharing all that great information about your company.
Thank you very much.
And Stephen, I was hoping you'd say something a little wacky and off the cuff so I could say, zip it. Zip it, Stephen. But you never gave me that chance.
That's strike two, Mike, of corny jokes on the show.
What was strike one?
I'm sure there was one somewhere.
I wanted to make a joke about Y2K, but it wouldn't really quite make sense because I was like, okay, please don't make
that mistake. Okay, there's the first one.
There.
It's just post thing.
So I need one more.
I just want to say this. Mike, we've said this so many times on the show, but I just love it when we get people who work with companies that when you first see the sheet, you think zippers. How exciting can zippers be? But you listen to Jessica talk about the quality of what they do and how it's the same base metal and how it applies and how NASA's using it and oil. That's what I love about the show.
Yeah, yeah. If the company could find someone that was at least passionate about zippers.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be nice.
Yeah, Jessica, yeah.
It just didn't come through at all. Sorry. Kidding, Jessica.
Sarcasm on the air. It's part of our show.
Hey, let's start talking more about Japan Fest.
It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, let's turn the page.
Yoshi Demoto is with Japan America Society of Georgia and Japan Fest. And Yoshi, we had you on about a year ago, and we said, hey, we're going to have you come back a year from now, talk more about the upcoming Japan Fest. So here you are a year later. Thanks for coming by the studio.
That's right. Thanks so much for having me again this year. Really excited to promote yet another Japan Fest. This is our 28th year. And this year's theme is washoku, or Japanese cuisine. So remember, we talked about Japanese food a little bit last year, but this year we're going to make it more of a focus. So it should be very exciting, not just for the Japanese community here, but for everyone who's interested in not just Japanese culture, but food in general.
One of our producers here, Trey, was asking me before the show, what is Japan Fest? And I was trying to explain it to him. Obviously, you can do a much better job than I can. Explain what Japan Fest is all about for people that come, and it's open to the public.
That's
so,
right.
So folks that, is it free or they buy tickets?
It is a ticketed event. Yeah, it's $8 per person and free for children 6 and under.
Okay.
As Jessica mentioned, Japan Fest is one of the largest Japanese festivals here in the Southeast. And as YKK is one of the first Japanese companies to come to Georgia, we like to see Japan Fest, we see ourselves as one of the first major Japanese festivals in our state. But Japan Fest is a festival where you can experience everything to do with Japan by just going to one location. You don't have to go to Japan, and you can experience Japanese martial arts, music, performances, various demonstrations. Exhibitors and vendors are there selling Japanese products, and of course, food we just talked about too. But it is September 20th and 21st at the Gwinnett Center. This is our eighth year at the Gwinnett Center, so we're looking forward to being back. It is an indoor and outdoor facility, so it's best of both worlds.
Great. Who actually organizes this event every year?
Japan Fest is organized by Japan Fest, Inc., and supported by the Japan America Society of Georgia and the Japanese Chamber of Commerce of Georgia, and supported also this year by the Consulate General of Japan.
You mentioned Japan America Society of Georgia. What does that organization do?
Well, we are a nonprofit organization, 501c3 organization, with the mission to promote the friendship and mutual understanding between the people of Japan and Georgia. And we do that through four main ways, through business development, so introducing Japanese companies to American companies, vice versa, and teaching Americans about Japanese culture and also teaching Japanese people about American culture and education. We support various schools with the Japanese program, and we also try to teach Japanese students about English and American culture and education. And everything revolves around friendship and social networking. So basically, we try to bring together the Japanese and American communities together.
Yoshi, you mentioned that it's taking place at the Gwinnett Center on September 20th and 21st of this year, 2014. And we're going to get to the food, because I want to ask about the food up front. But I want to ask this first. We've had members of the Gwinnett Center, and they are a cultural center here in Gwinnett. And so they're trying to promote all different kinds of cultural things. So focus a little bit on the Japanese cultural experiences that people will have when they come. I'll let you have the broad range of exactly what you want to focus on, because I know Japanese culture is very broad. So what are some of the specific experiences that people will have if they come to Japan Fest when it comes to the cultural side of things?
So certainly martial arts is a big, big aspect of Japan Fest. It's very popular among our guests. So we have all sorts of Japanese martial arts there, from Aikido to Kendo, Kyudo, which is Japanese archery. We have karate and other forms of martial arts there doing various demonstrations. Arts organizations.
I was worried. Until you said demonstrations, I was like, you know, when you walk in there, they go, ay-ya! Right there. It's like, okay, so we get to enjoy some demonstrations.
Demonstration, and actually, there's actually going to be a sumo tournament, too. So if you guys are interested in participating.
Why did he look at me when he said that, Mike? He really gazed at me.
So that's martial arts. Okay. And then we also have music. We have various types of traditional and modern Japanese musical performances. From Matsuriza, which is a Japanese taiko drum group. They actually perform regularly at Disney's Epcot Center down in Orlando, but they're coming up here to the Gwinnett Center this year yet again to perform twice a day. Very exciting, very loud, energetic performances that they do. We also have Yoshi Amao back. I like his first name, just like mine, but he does a traditional and his rendition of a samurai show. So he explains and also performs the art of Bushido and the Japanese samurai. We also have Junko Fujiyama, who is a Japanese J-pop and J-rock artist. She'll be performing. And then Madoka Oshima, who is a Japanese jazz artist, will be performing as well. And other than that, those are our guest performers. We have local groups coming out to perform their musical performances as well. We have demonstrations such as a tea ceremony, ikebana, other types of Japanese cultural exhibits there. And then shopping is a big aspect too. Various vendors and exhibitors will have all sorts of Japanese products for sale. And anime and manga and that pop culture is very big too. So there'll be a lot of anime-related vendors there at Japan Fest this year.
A lot to see, a lot to do, a lot to watch, a lot to participate in. I mean, there's something for everybody.
That's right.
There's no excuse not to go.
Very family-friendly, and there's a business aspect to it as well. One part of the festival, it used to be called MIG or Made in Georgia. This year it's called J-Big or Japanese Businesses in Georgia. It's a mini trade show where Japanese companies will be displaying their products and then services too to show what types of items and services these companies actually produce and then offer here in Georgia.
All right, let's get to the question Steve's been waiting for, and that is the food. Tell us about the food.
The food. We could talk for hours and hours, but Japanese food is certainly one of the most popular parts of our festival. This year, washoku, or traditional Japanese cuisine, is our theme. So we'll have various special guest demonstrators and focusing a lot on food. Washoku actually was identified as the UN's UNESCO's World Heritage last year in 2013. To celebrate that, we're making this year that the theme. So we have various demonstrators, including Chef Ryosuke Murakami, who is the personal and private chef of the Consul General of Japan, the Honorable Kazuo Tsunaga. So he'll be doing two demonstrations each day. He trained in Japan for over 10 years, in the traditional art of Washoku. Apparently, you know, it's very, very rigorous and very strict training process. But the first year, he couldn't touch any food or prepare anything. All he could do was wash dishes and, you know, wash cookware and things like that. And the second year, all he could do is cut vegetables. And then, you know, third year moving forward, he was able to start preparing food a little bit. But so he's had a long training in Japan, and he's here in the U.S. as the personal and private chef of Consul General. And he'll be we like to call it a performance, actually, because he'll be demonstrating how to create some of the most unique dishes in Japanese traditional cuisine. We also have Mineko Moreno, who is the author of Sushi for Dummies. So she'll be doing a demonstration about Washoku and Japanese cuisine.
Can I reserve, Mike?
Don't say it. Whatever you're going to say, don't say it.
I want to know if I can reserve a front row seat for that. That's all.
You can get a special ticket just for you.
Yes. Maybe a private demonstration, because, yes. and dummies, I'm right there ahead of the line.
I mean, you guys will enjoy this, but her main focus will be teaching us about the Japanese table manners and proper etiquette when eating Japanese food.
Oh, Steven will be first in line for that.
No, he was looking at you while he said that. So,
we also have Candy Miyuki, who is the only female amezaiku, which is a Japanese candy artist. So she actually creates pieces of art using candy. So she'll be creating a lot of traditional pieces of art using candy. But also, she also creates a lot of her own renditions. So she's created candy in the shape of the Falcons logo, or the Hawks logo, or the Braves logo, and various...
the Business Radio X logo.
That's right, exactly. We'll make that happen. And then two other guest performers we have for Washoku and our theme. Cara Rosa, who is the founder of the Sushi Club in Houston, will be doing a Sushi 101 demonstration, teaching us about how to make sushi at home. So we can all make sushi at home, and then he'll be talking about best ways to eat cheaply and well when you're traveling to Japan. And then we also have Bento USA, who is a company out of California coming to Atlanta to teach us about the art of bento lunches and creating characters with the bento lunches. So you can actually create bento lunches in the shape of panda bears and all sorts of cute animals and things like that. So we're definitely looking forward to this year's festival, and hope you guys will be able to join us.
So is there really anything going on at the Japan Fest? It sounds like it's just nothing to see, nothing to do.
A couple of little things here, booth here,
Cow, that's wonderful, Yoshi. That is awesome. September 20th and 21st. Let me see. I got the times here. It's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. For those that want to find out some ticket information and purchase tickets, where can they get all that information?
They can certainly go to the Japan Fest website, which is www.japanfest.org. Again, that's www.japanfest.org. Or they can call our hotline at 404-842-0736. And we also do have an email address, info@japanfest.org.
Now, Mike, so the Japan Fest theme this year is Washoku, traditional Japanese cuisine. If only we had a guest on this show that could talk to us about traditional Japanese cuisine. Maybe someone who, I don't know, maybe was part of the oldest Japanese restaurant in Atlanta. I mean, that would be a great get if you
Man,
could get that
had
on
we
the
thought
show.
Of that. If we thought of that,
you know,
been
if
a
only
show.
Yoshi had some connections and could get that for us, that would be a great way to go to the last part of the show.
Yeah, I wish, but we.
Boy,
gosh.
Too bad.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And, oh, wait a minute.
Wait, there is one
there
more.
There is somebody here. Sachi Nakato from Nakato Japanese Restaurant, the longest running Japanese restaurant in Atlanta, is joining us. And Sachi is the general manager. Hello, Sachi. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for the introduction.
I almost forgot about you, but thank you, Stephen. No, just kidding. Nakato Japanese Restaurant. I just mentioned the longest running Japanese restaurant in Atlanta. Tell us all about your restaurant.
Yes. My grandmother started the restaurant in 1972. And we're on our 42nd anniversary, and we do an array of traditional Japanese food as well as the hibachi teppanyaki dining and sushi bar. And we also have the exclusive private dinings where you take your shoes off and you feel like you're moved to Japan. So we have an array to offer at the restaurant.
You mentioned your grandmother starting this restaurant many years ago. To tell us, there's obviously the history there. Did she come over from Japan? I mean, that had to be starting a restaurant, obviously. I mean, you know that the statistics are not good for a restaurant to last past 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. And here you are 30 or so 42 years later. Mm-hmm. Why did she decide to open a restaurant? Why here in the Atlanta area?
In the early 70s, my grandmother was visiting Charlotte, where her son was working in the textile industry, which has been like a theme with textiles and YKK and the zippers. But he was working for the textile industry in Charlotte. And she was doing her southern tour around Charlotte and Atlanta. And she fell in love with the southern charm and hospitality. And at that time, she was suffering from asthma as well, so she took her doctor's orders and moved to an area with a lot of green space, and it was Atlanta. So my grandmother, who was in her 60s at that time, decided to completely move to Atlanta, and where most people were retiring at her age, she just decided to start up a restaurant.
And 42 years later, you're still going strong. What's been the secret to the success and the longevity?
Longevity.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
Longevity.
You have missed me, Mike.
It's been a while.
Besides great food, what has been the secret to the longevity?
The ultimate success is definitely the blessing of our employees that are so dedicated and loving, and also the guests and customers who have supported us for over 42 years. But keeping up with the studies of Japanese food and cuisine is the most important factor, I think, especially for me, since I'm a third generation Japanese restaurateur born and raised in Georgia. So I have a huge learning curve. And much as many things that gets passed down from one generation to another, I need to study the culture in depth, since I don't have the actual taste and experience right in front of me. So in that process, I end up building a deeper appreciation for the art and Japanese culture, since it's so detailed and intricate. Yeah.
So let me ask this question, and I certainly do not mean to I'm going to show my naivete here. Take someone who has very little experience with Japanese culture and especially with Japanese cuisine. What are some of the things I should expect when I walk in? What are some of the things I should be looking for that really show the culture and show the cuisine? And because I think most people just think sushi. Well, there's so much more to it than that. So just kind of talk a little bit about that.
Japanese cuisine is heavily involved in seasonal appreciation, and so each dish changes seasonally with ingredients that are brought in locally or from Japan, which is in that particular moment that season. And with that theme, the plateware changes. Like, for example, during the summer, you might get your plate of sashimi and a block of ice, or during the fall, the plates change into a maple or a scenery of changing leaves. During the winter, it's pine, and then during the spring, it's cherry blossoms, which are Japan's national treasure.
So I can order the same dish throughout the year, and it's going to change with the seasons of the year.
Yes.
That is fantastic. That is, and see, and that question kind of came out of when you said we can do the sushi and we can do the, you know, we got the hibachi. But in that question was, we'll do that, but that's, we go much deeper than that into the culture and the cuisine,
right,
of
and
Japan.
The way that you get the service of the food in front of you changes too, because during the fall and winter season, it may be a hot pot dish where you have a flame of in. The food is being cooked right in front of you, or it may be, presented again on the ice block, sort of bringing the atmosphere of coolness in the midst of heat in the summer.
Very cool. Now, how long have you been working in your third generation? How long have you been working in the restaurant?
I've been back at the restaurant. I grew up in
the kitchen.
I got that. It's been 10 years since I've been back.
So you started when you were 10.
Right.
So just standard flattery glare question.
Thank you.
So let me ask this. You grew up in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Has there been some study over in Japan for you?
Yes. I was fortunate enough to have parents who would send me back to Japan during the summer so I can brush up on my Japanese as well as be immersed in the culture and actually attend school there too. So wow. I was very fortunate.
So you're going back to Japan. You're going, hi, y'all.
I was going to ask my dumb joke. Is there a word for y'all in Japanese?
I haven't found one yet.
Okay. All right.
Do any of the cuisines that you offer in the restaurant have zippers, by the way? I had to have my third corny joke.
That's my fourth corny joke.
Wow,
you've already struck out.
Okay, listen to this question though, Stephen. When Stephen and I walk into the restaurant, what do you recommend that we order? What is that signature dish?
You have to experience the Japanese cuisine. So I highly recommend you coming in and having our full course menu. And it's 5 to 6 courses, and our executive chef, Kinjo-san, has been with us for 25 years, and he knows what he's doing and will take good care of you. But you get to see the seasonal ingredients being incorporated and the dishware changing from one course to another. So,
if we truly want to experience it, is this something that's going to take a couple of hours?
Yes.
Okay. So much like other cultures, people travel to Europe and they say, it's an event. I mean, sitting down to a good meal, you don't rush that.
Right.
And that's one thing we in North America, we don't do a good job of.
You don't have time for it
right
now.
Right. Kids, got to pick up the kids. Right, got to get my stuff. Got to answer my 500 emails.
So pick a great date to come in, plan it, let us know.
Wait, now Mike and I aren't going on a together or anything. A long business lunch, right? Shall we do it that way?
Well, bring our wives or significant others
so it doesn't look
really weird.
Right.
See how excited Stephen gets when he talks about food? This is why Yoshi was looking at you when he was talking about the sumo wrestlers.
Right.
Just so you know. Tell us where you're located for those business people that are listening to the show and they go, all right, you've whet their appetite. Where is this wonderful restaurant, Nakato Japanese Restaurant, located? And Stephen is ready to write it
all
down.
I'm ready.
Okay. We're in between Buckhead and Midtown, right off of Piedmont Road at 1776 Cheshire Bridge Road.
1776 Cheshire. I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, goodness.
A joining
gracious.
Of the cultures.
Give us your website, any contact information for people that want to check out more about the restaurant.
Yes, we're on Facebook, Nakato Japanese Restaurant Atlanta, and our website's www.nakato.com.
Great. What is your participation in Japan Fest? What are you going to be doing there?
We're going to be serving traditional street food. It's our yakitori skewers, chicken skewers with our teriyaki glaze, and we'll be outside next to the Sapporo Beer Garden, so come on by.
Sachi, thank you so much for sharing everything with us.
Thank you.
Sachi Nakato with a Nakato Japanese Restaurant. And Yoshi, we appreciate you helping set the show up and bring in some of the folks that are involved with Japan Fest to kind of put a nice little bow on the top of everything. Talk about these two companies that you have involved and any last words about the Japan Fest coming up really just a couple weeks from now from the taping of the show, September 20th and 21st.
Well, thank you again for having us. I think we had a very special group today, the first Japanese company to come to Georgia, the first Japanese restaurant to come to Georgia, and, of course, Japan Fest, the first major Japanese festival in Georgia. So please do come out and experience Japan in its entirety, from food to business to various aspects of its traditional and modern culture, music, performances at Japan Fest at the Gwinnett Center, 6400 Sugarloaf Parkway. September 20th and 21st. We look forward to seeing you there. It's all around fun for the entire family, so definitely come out. And I promise you, if you come, you'll be staying the whole day just having fun at various parts of the festival. So look forward to seeing you there again September 20th and 21st, and visit our website at www.japanfest.org.
And if people want to know personally more about these companies that we just had on, the restaurant and YKK Corporation, they'll be there as well. So come on out by and check out the food, check out their exhibit. It's going to be great. Open, close a couple zippers. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't say anything. Zip it, Stephen. Don't say anything. All right. I can do the corny jokes. It's my show. Anyway, and on that, I finish the show off. I want to thank Yoshi Domoto with Japan America Society of Georgia and Japan Fest for joining us. Jessica Cork. Oh, put a cork in it, Stephen. We could do that too. Oh, I'm just full of it today. Oh, don't. You've heard that one before? Oh, okay. Jessica from YKK Corporation of America. I've just made more enemies than I could ever know. And Sachi Nakato with Nakato Japanese Restaurant. A reminder that you can enjoy this program and you can fast forward past the bad jokes or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X, and you can like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X as well. For Stephen Julian.
You know, Mike, when we have that long business lunch at Nakato Restaurant, I'll be glad to know that we're both wearing pants with YKK zippers that'll hold us in.
I just want to say another bad joke about how do you know I'll be wearing pants, but that would not be appropriate.
You just did!
Oh, darn! I'm Mike Salmon, although I'm afraid to admit it right now. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.